The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
Well, it is a beautiful, sunny, crisp, cool day outdoors. But here inside the Truth Infusion broadcast studios, ladies and gentlemen, it is comfortable and warm. I am presently sitting before the microphone, before computer screens, with my Faith Assembly of God tall coffee mug in my hand. And I got this when we visited Faith Assembly of God in Texarkana, Arkansas. They were so kind and generous hosts over there, and we thank them for that. But I love this coffee mug. I'm presently drinking vanilla biscotti gourmet coffee. That may not sound good to some of you, but it is tasty to me. In fact, let me prove that real quick. Now, some of you think, David, that is not very professional to do that on the radio. You know what I say? This is my show. And I like to drink a little coffee when I'm speaking to you. Keeps my voice warm. My voice keeps my vocal folds warm and open and helps me to be a bit more comfortable while we're talking. Now, listen, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to kind of go a different direction today. I want to start a teaching series that God began to place and birth in my heart months ago now. And what I want to do today is just introduce this series. I'm excited about it. Like I said, God has been kind of whispering this to my spirit for several months. I like to spend time just meditating on a teaching before I really get into it and get after it, because a lot of times I have a great idea from the Lord, but I rush into things and I miss a lot. I want to take the opportunity to let that bake in my spirit, so to speak, so that when it comes to you, it is thought out, well thought out, and researched and studied and experienced, and hopefully it reaches you that way. Now, someone said to me the other day, one of the radio managers that our show is on, he said, David, we love Truth Infusion, the program, because it feels so homey. And that was a great compliment to me, and here's why. When I began seeking the Lord about these radio programs, I did not want it to come across academic, scholarly. I didn't want it to feel high churchy. Now, not that I want the content to not be scholarly. I believe it is. I hope it is. But I wanted this to feel conversational. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to feel like almost like a talk radio show. Not like you were being preached at, but I wanted it to feel more like you and I are having a conversation. I don't know if it comes across that way or not, but that was my desire for what we're doing with this show. I wanted it to feel, and when he said homey, I thought that's it. I wanted it to feel comfortable and homey. I want you to enjoy listening to me speak. I want to catch you kind of off balance every once in a while with something silly like me sucking on a sip of coffee into the microphone. I wanted you to be able to relax and enjoy and then learn and let the Holy Spirit minister to you also. Now, we're going to cover some deep topics with Truth Infusion. I want to teach doctrine. I believe that doctrine equals freedom. It equals victory, because when we are breaking apart and dividing the Word and we're letting the Holy Spirit teach doctrine to our hearts, the Word can set us free. The Bible tells us that through the Word, through the message, our faith is increased. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word. When our faith is increased, God is pleased. The Bible says we cannot please God without faith. And when God is pleased, that verse in Hebrews also goes on to tell us that He is the rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So if we're diligently seeking Him, we do that through the Word. Are you with me? And so then the cycle begins again. We're in the Word. Faith increases. When faith increases, God is pleased. When God is pleased, He blesses those that diligently seek Him. When we diligently seek Him, we're in the Word. And when we're in the Word, our faith increases. And when our faith increases, God is pleased. And when God is pleased, He rewards those that are diligently seeking Him. And when we're diligently seeking Him, we're in the Word. Now, do you see the cycle that I just built there? This is what Jesus, I believe, in John chapter 8 was talking about when He said we ought to be abiding in the Word. When we abide in the Word, then we are His disciples. And we're learning to abide in the Word. And I hope that Truth Infusion Ministries and this Truth Infusion Radio program is helping you learn how to abide in the Word. So, amen. I want to take the time and pray, and then I'm going to start introducing this new teaching series that we're going to have for the next few weeks, and that God would bless me to be able to teach you, and that He would bless you to be able to hear it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You, Lord, that we have personal relationship with You because of Jesus Christ. And God, that You know my name. You are the Almighty, Omnipotent, amazing Creator, and You care about little old insignificant me. And God, that's an amazing, awesome thought. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we begin this new teaching series, Lord, that You would have Your way, that You, God, would bless it to us. Anoint me, for without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Your people will just hear the words of a man, and my words they're not life. Your words are life. So God, anoint me to preach it. Anoint them to hear it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Let me introduce this series, and then we're going to just do an introduction today with the time we have remaining. And then next week, we'll really get into the meat of this teaching. I was sitting on a love seat in a condo in Branson, Missouri. This was in November. It was a Wednesday morning. My wife and I we had escaped from work and from ministry for the moment and from kids to spend time together. It was our 10th anniversary this last November. And we went to Branson to do that, and we had a wonderful room, condo type room. And every morning, God woke me up about 7 in the morning. I wasn't necessarily planning on this. I was just going to sleep till He woke me up. And He woke me up about 7. I would quietly get out of bed and let Jennifer continue to sleep. And I would go into the living room, take the love seat from the wall, and push it in front of the big glass doors that went over out onto the balcony. And I would open up those shades, and there before me would be the beautiful landscape of the Ozark Mountains. And I would sit there on the love seat, coffee to my right, the Bible open to my left, study guides and such in front of me on the coffee table. And every day for about 5 or 6 days in a row, I got to spend, my privilege, my honor, an hour and a half or so with the Lord, learning from Him, meditating on His Word, seeking His will. It was wonderful. It was uninterrupted. There was no phone calls. There was we didn't have to get kids to the school in the morning, didn't get ready for work. It was just God time, and I was blessed by it. Oh, Lord, give me that moment again. It was wonderful. On the Wednesday morning particular, God began to open my eyes to this teaching. And I want to tell you where it came from. It was the Wednesday morning following the presidential election of 2012. So that Tuesday night before, we sat in the living room of that condo and watched the returns come in from the states, and watched President Obama be reelected by the people. Watched a lot of other elections come through and a lot of other state votes and bills pass, and we watched that. And I'll be honest with you, I went to bed that night kind of burdened and a little broken. And woke up that Wednesday morning and sat before God and the beauty of His creation and began to seek His face. Now, I don't think that I'm ignorant of current affairs. I don't consider myself to be absolutely naive about the state of the union. I believe that I have a better than average grip or handle on the spiritual and moral condition of America. I am not an expert in these areas, but I do think it's important that we as Christians maintain an idea of current affairs, and we look at it through the glasses, through the prism of the Word of God. This is our worldview, the Christian worldview, the Christian worldview glasses that we should be wearing, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God that we see things through. And we ought to be looking at things like the condition of our nation, not just with an American heart, not just with emotions in our own opinions, but through the eyes of the Spirit. We can't see it correctly otherwise. But as I sat there thinking, there were some mighty unfortunate results that occurred on Election Day this last year, and not ones that I necessarily saw coming. And I'll explain what I mean. I'm not talking about the presidential vote. That honestly did not take me by surprise one bit, and I'm not getting into the politics of that. What was more alarming to me were the results from the other state elections and state ballots that came in that night. Some of you are well aware of this. Two of our states voted to legalize recreational marijuana. A mind-altering, mind-controlling drug has now become legal, not just for medical purposes, which I have issue with that. Now, don't throw rocks at me. I am a medical professional, and I have an opinion of that based on educated experience. I have a problem with it, but I have an extreme problem with the recreational side of it. Two other states voted in homosexual marriage, legalized it, put their stamp of approval on it. One state elected the very first openly homosexual senator. Now, this teaching series I'm about to get into doesn't have anything to do with those type of lifestyles directly. But I will say this in regards to the legalizing of homosexuality, the electing of a political and governmental official that is openly gay. Here's the problem that we have here. When our government, when our state, when our people put a stamp of approval on something that stands in direct opposition to the word and the will and the character of God, folks, we've got problems. Now, some of you are going to be upset and say, I'm not listening to this guy anymore. He's preaching against the homosexuals. I have not said that. I have not said that. Now, I want you to listen to what I am saying. I am saying that when our nation puts a stamp of approval on a lifestyle that desacralizes something that's very important to God, we've got problems in the present, and we've got problems coming down the road. Let me put it to you this way. There is not many people that have a problem with this following statement. Listen to my statement. A man or a woman's race is a sacred thing. Let me say it again. Your individual race is sacred. What does sacred mean? Sacred is something that comes from and is connected to God. It is sacred. It is God-breathed, God-given, God-decided, and it ought to be treated with that type of respect. We ought to have the utmost respect for every race of person because their race was not their choice. It was given to them by a loving, caring Creator God. It is sacred to that person. We do not have respect for it because it's a greater race than ours or a lesser race than ours. We should respect them because God Almighty created them to be Hispanic or Latino, to be Asian, to be African. That is their race, and it is a sacred thing that we ought not tread on as individuals, as a nation, as a culture. It's sacred. Let me tell you something else that's sacred. A person's sex is a sacred thing given by God, and we ought to treat it as such. So when we legalize homosexuality in America, in our states, We are basically saying, God, that which you have created and designed, I will spit on and disrespect. When we desacralize what God has put forward, we're in trouble, folks. You come back right after the break.
Truth Seekers, this is Jennifer. I wanted to take a moment to remind you of something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess the children's song is true. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Hey, truth seekers, especially you pastors out there, go to truthinfusion.com and check out our schedule of events. We've got a lot of things coming up at different churches, but there's room for your church. If you have a need for a worship event or a teaching event, I'd love to come in and preach and teach the Word of God for you. Give me a call or email me at truthinfusion@gmail.com. Let's put something on the schedule for you and your congregation. My friends, welcome to Truth Infusion. I'm glad you're back with me. You don't have to look too hard to see the spiritual and moral degradation of our American society. And this last election cycle, these smaller state-level votes, they're really just, to use a bigger word, a microcosm of the spiritual and moral temperature of America as a whole. And many of you agree with this. If you're listening to Christian programming, then you're probably not too far off base from where I'm coming from. As a nation, I believe that we are, in many cases, blindly slipping down a slope that is ultimately going to lead to destruction for you and I and for our kids and for our nation. I know many of you agree. I realize that some of you don't agree at all. All right? Either way, whether you're with me or not, Election Day was a great indicator of where we're going, where we are as a nation. It showed a lot about our national mindset. And it proves that we are greatly divided in thought, in opinion, in deed, in general, just about what is right and wrong. There's just about as many people on either side of most subjects, most topics of political and governmental conversation. We are divided almost right down the middle. Now, all that being said, this new teaching series that I'm introducing today, it's not a referendum on the spiritual status of our nation. I'm just telling you, I'm wanting you to see the thought process that I was going through as God began to lay this out for me. So I'm not here for the next few weeks to come down on America, to point fingers, to put certain aspects of America under the microscope. I'm just wanting to make a point. This last election day proves many things, whether you're spiritual, Christian, or not, that is true about this nation. What I want to do with our next few weeks in this series is something quite different. So follow me here. I think America and her national issues, her spiritual and moral issues, can be boiled down to a single point. In math, we called it the common denominator. All right? I think there is a single focused reason why we as a society, socially, economically, educationally, financially, domestically, have plummeted, are sinking, are falling off the cliff right and left. Okay, let me make a long story short. Let me summarize. I'll put it like this. America's problem is not that corrupt people are in leadership. Now, if you don't think our leadership for the great part is not corrupt, then you're blind. You are spiritually blind. You got your head in the sand and you are believing what you want to believe. You're not looking at reality, because the folks we have in office are power grabbing, money grabbing, corrupted men and women. That's true on, the municipal level, the state level, school board level, government level. Satan is placing his men and women in the right positions. Now, I'm not saying they're Satanists. I'm not saying they are out to be evil. I'm saying that they don't have an understanding heart and loving heart of the Lord God Almighty beating through them and living through them. So they are easily corrupted and easily used by the other side of the coin. Now, you can disagree and get upset about that if you like, but we're seeing it borne out with the fruit that America is producing. Don't tell me something's not wrong in our offices, in the Capitol buildings, and in the White House when the fruit America is bearing is rotten. The old saying is, the proof is in the pudding. You can disguise it if you want, but when you taste the pudding, you're going to know that it's rancid. And as much as I believe what I'm just telling you, I don't think that America's number one problem is corruption at the highest levels. I don't think America's problem is that the sinners are sinning. Let me say that again. I want you to hear me. America's problem is not that the sinners are sinning. For you see, that's what sinners do. And we as the church, we as Christians are kidding ourselves when we say, think, or believe that if we argue and if we stand up and say spiritual things to the unbelieving world, they're going to get right. They can't live like Christ. They don't have Him inside of them. They've not been changed in their heart. They are going to sin. They are going to operate as controlled by the sin nature. That's what they do. Sinners sin. And it's the height of foolishness to expect the lost sinner, even if they are an elected official, to live like a saint. They cannot do it. So let me get down to the bottom line. The number one problem with America is not that sinners are sinning. It's that the church has forgotten how to be the church. Period. As the church goes, so goes the nation. Let me say that again. As the church goes, so goes the nation. And I can't stand here and be a prophet to America. I can be a prophet to the church. Listen to me. The church has forgotten who it is and whose it is and what our commission is. 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God." That being said, my objective for this coming teaching series is not to convince you that the church has abdicated its spiritual place in America. It's not to come down on the church being apostate, even though for a great part, the American church especially, is an apostate church. That's not what we're after. A short glance into history will verify that what I'm saying about the church in America is true. The claim is true. As the nation, church goes, so goes the nation. Look at Israel's history. The called children of God that saw more great and powerful acts from the hand of the Lord than any other nation in history, and they walked away spiritually from what they were called to, and they went into captivity, and today They are a shell, a shadow of who they were supposed to be. In fact, they killed the very one that came to redeem and save them. Because they walked away from their position and their calling, their country is in constant turmoil. Look at Great Britain. At one time, a couple of hundred years ago, they were the greatest force for the cause of Christ in the world. I'm telling you, at one time, Great Britain was what America was recently. More missionaries, more scholars, more amazing writings for the Lord, more great preachers like William Cooper came out of Great Britain. But they've turned away from God. And they've allowed things like homosexuality and socialism to rule the day. And they are falling apart at the seams. Now look at America. Compare us to Israel. Compare us to the fate of and condition of Britain. And see if we're not falling in line with those in the past that have walked away from their first love. The health of a nation is inextricably tied to the scriptural and spiritual purity of the body of Christ. As the church goes, so goes the nation. But my goal is not to pinpoint America's problems. Our plan for this series is not to pinpoint the church's problems directly. What's my objective? Real quick, in the next few minutes. My desire for the next few weeks is that the blinders might be taken off and the light may be poured in. I want you to recognize the truth. The truth, I want it to be infused into you like that. Then perhaps we can regain an appropriate spot and position before our Heavenly Father when the church wakes up. Perhaps He will be able to forgive us our sins and heal our land, just like 2 Chronicles tells us. Scripturally, what's wrong with the church today? What does the Bible say about the church of Jesus Christ in America? What's the result of being in this condition? Folks, where do we go from here? These are the questions I want to tackle with this study. To accomplish this, we will have to break down this study into sections. And for the first lesson, I'm going to give you a brief introduction into the text in Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. We're going to be looking at the letter to the Laodicean church. For in this letter, you will find over the next few weeks, you will identify what happened in John's day when he wrote the letter, what's happening in America today, and what is happening in some of your lives individually where you live. So you come back next week, and we will begin to look at the letter to the Laodicean with a study that I've entitled, Living in Laodicea. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.